Hello, I'm Dr. Lou Condor, technical communicator, writer, editor, as well as adjunct lecturer at California State University, Dominguez Hills. Welcome to the podcast for the Advanced Technical Communication class, where we discuss key aspects of technical writing and communication. Interviewing subject matter experts. I wanted to talk a bit about this because I think it's one of the most important things we do as technical writers. You'll need to interview people and work with people in teams. Why do you need to interview? Well, others usually have knowledge of topics that you're writing about or you're trying to communicate. And that's something that you just accept because you can't know everything, especially if it's not your field of expertise. Your field of expertise is generally technical writing. And you probably have a basic idea about whatever you're writing about, but you really need to do research and you'll be learning more about the topic and you want to do it quickly and efficiently. You know, you'll get learning, you'll get tips and tricks that you may need to write about from the person who's a subject matter expert. The best person to interview is your expert. They can be in any field with any kind of knowledge, but the thing is that the typical thing that you require from them is what you are writing about. And you may have different SMEs on every project. It just depends. And for example, you could have programmers, you could have users, you can have engineers, management, anyone with the information you need. Be prepared when you go into an interview. Know what you need. Think your project through. Do the outline like we've done in the class. Those are very helpful to get you moving forward. What will you ask this SME and who will you ask? So first, you might say, and they go hand in hand, the two questions. So you might wonder, well, I'll ask so-and-so. That's the person I'll ask. And then as you start looking at the interview questions, you might determine they are not the person that you need to ask, or you need to ask another person as well. So you want to use processes like brainstorming and mind mapping to help you. These come from business, and they're very, very useful. They're used in all areas of business. So let's discuss this a little bit, mind mapping. Make sure what you need to know for your project. So mind maps provide a breakdown, your ideas. You're going to start branching out all these ideas and start looking at them. There is no set rules to this. Break down your information into usable chunks of information. Get as detailed as you want. One of my tips was I got this from actually when I went to Caltech. They used to break down a lot of information on post-it notes. Granted, it was a while ago, so there wasn't as many electronic devices as there was now. But when you do it on post-it notes, you can put it on the wall. You can visually see it, which is much easier sometimes than flipping through pages. You might miss something on your iPad or whatever digital device you're using. So putting the post-it notes up on the wall are really helpful, and you can move them around to sort of see what information you want. And then you can always pull one off if you don't want to get that or you want to get it later. So it's a great way to do it. What are you documenting? That's another thing. It will help you really determine not just what you want to ask, but what is the real scope of the project. And, you know, scope is, of course, very important. We'll have a lecture on that. So you want to look at the processes, the tasks, or the workflow, and or the workflow. I mean, it may be all three, depending on what you're writing about. So I have this graphic you'll see in the post that I'll post to accompany this, a group of bubbles here and there to show the what, the who, what, where, when, and how it's all going to happen. And I did it as a risk assessment graphic. That one is really kind of easy. Risk management has a lot of the same samples. So I did it because it branches out and you can see, and it branches out in order of what's the core idea, to branch out to the subsidiary ideas, to branch out to those other ideas. And that's how you really can create a visual outline of a document without having to type it up as well. So it's really nice. So let's jump on to the interviewing. Now, what is the interviewing process? Well, you want to determine, of course, the right people to interview. That's the review. Preparing for the interview, write down your questions. You want to write down all the questions you have because you want to be able to get through that quickly so that if they, the subject matter expert, or you come up with additional questions, there'll be time for that. You also don't want to go in and ask a very simplistic question. The SME will shut down. They will go, okay, you didn't do your homework. Come back to me when you've actually read on some of this stuff. So you've got to do the research and the homework first. Go in there, get a basic idea, especially if it's about something you've never written before, and then make sure you understand what's going on. Then you conduct the interview. So once you conduct the interview, you go in there, you're ready. You may only have 30 minutes. You may only have an hour. You may not be able to contact the SME again. Remember, a lot of these people make a lot of money because they're an expert. They don't have time. They're doing their job, so they don't have time to help you with yours. Even if your job is really important, like a project, or I should say a software release, they'll only have so much time to tell you. They're working on the software release, and they cost a lot more. So think of it that way. It's all about cost. An SME is a project overhead cost. And the more time they spend with you, the less time they spend doing their job, which management will notice, and it will reflect poorly on you if you are not prepared. And they will go and ask the person who you're conducting the interview with, what's going on? Why are they interviewing you so much? Now, there may be times you have to go back and interview, like they've changed a whole aspect of the product. They've decided to just revamp this one area. And so there's an extended deadline on the project. There's very visible reasons. I usually check in with whomever's in charge of the person to make sure that if I need to retouch base with them, just say I might need to touch base with them if any of these particular aspects to the software change. Because truly, the person writing the software is the only one who really knows it. That's why you have to interview them, say, for software. Because everyone else in the world doesn't know it. You might run some tests, like get a beta copy of the software and run it and see how the basics work. Because a lot of the basics of software are the same. But when you start getting into detailed aspects, you really need to know. And that's true of anything like new devices. You need to know all the specifications and what they're actually doing. And you personally generally don't determine those. You may write them up for someone, but you don't determine them. Usually engineering does that. So that's what I mean by an example. And then I would take notes. And a lot of times I ask if I can record it because I transcribe and I clean up my notes as soon as possible after the interview, I mean literally within hours, because I want to make sure while it's fresh in my head, if I miss something, I can write it down and I have all those notes, because you will go back and reference those quite frequently, especially on very complex tasks or complex procedures or processes or devices. So make sure you do that. I like recording. I usually ask permission to record. I've never hit a company that didn't give me permission to record, because I get rid of the recordings when I'm done with, you know, transcribing the process, because you just can't store all that material somewhere. So you just get rid of it and you just make sure you're very careful with it because you don't want it stolen. Intellectual property is one of the most valuable things in an organization. And so you have to be very careful, and no one wants to release anything before it's pre-released. So research your topic, of course. And, you know, I also take and review the work of an SME. I want to take and look at it and say, what have they done? And what does this mean? And you also have to ask yourself, what will the reader need to know when they are reading about what you are communicating? Where you meet your subject, you want to meet them in a place that feels comfortable, so long as it's not distracting. Please, please, please try not to do it at their desk if you meet them in person. Because a lot of people stop by and they have conversations and you get interrupted and your time is done once. So you've got to make sure that you do it in a way that helps you get that information. The other way is if you do it online, which I did do a lot because they had people all over the world. So I used to record a lot of the sessions that I did online and I could see what people were doing. I did a video recording. You can do that today in Zoom or anything. I mean, I did it years ago. And the other thing is now there's transcription software that will take your Zoom meeting and transcribe it. Now you're also a little bit ahead. So make sure you look at tools out there. There's a ton of tools that are very helpful. You want to, if it's going to be in person, you want to visit the interview area if you can, and note issues like really loud noises. If someone's jackhammering outside the window of the conference room, that's very distracting. So you want to kind of catch that in advance and then be able to modify your location where you're going to. Arrive on time, actually arrive early so you're all set up and ready to go if you can. This way you look prepared. It puts the subject matter expert at ease. Have a clear agenda and be specific with your purpose. Again, you know the questions you're going to ask. You've done your due diligence and your homework. You know what the person does. You understand the topic you're going to talk about. Don't continually stop a subject matter expert during the interview. Take some outline notes. And if you get a question, write it down and wait for a normal, natural pause and then ask. Because you want to get the information that you originally required. If you interrupt them, you may not get it. And then later, you'll be really annoyed with yourself because then you've got to figure it out, especially if you can't contact them again. So it's something to keep in mind. Bring a written outline or agenda, and you can give them one. Again, I keep reiterating this, but you don't want to waste their time. You don't want them to think you are wasting their time because they're sitting there thinking, well, I could be here, you know, working on this deadline instead of having to work an extra 15 minutes of overtime tonight or something, or an hour of overtime. So you really want to make sure that they feel comfortable. I usually print out an outline or email it, you know, it depends on where you're at and what you're doing. Don't attempt to cover everything. Focus on the key important information. If you can look it up, it's probably not as important to the subject matter expert. But if you can't look it up, you've got to ask them. Don't exceed an hour in an interview. Trust me, interviews are best if they are 30 minutes. Why? Because the SME will get tired. Have you ever sat in a meeting that's like 2 hours? I have. By the end, you're thinking, oh, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? You know, you're looking at your phone and thinking about appointments or whatever's going on. You want to keep them short and sweet. And if you need more time, set it up in advance to say, I need 2 30-minute sessions or 2 1-hour sessions, something like that, so that you get the time you need, but you don't stress out the subject matter expert. Then prioritize what you're going to ask them to have the high priority questions first, and the secondary questions on the next interview in case something happens and you can't get that interview. Having said all that, on the priority, if they don't know yet, I've had a lot of them say, you know, I know you're working on this. Do you have any idea of how this happens or whatever? And they'll say, we haven't worked that out. Okay, and then move forward. Control the conversation as much as possible. Keep things moving forward so you get all the information you absolutely need from your subject matter expert. If you know your SME will demo something, ask in advance if they have any support materials for you to use. They may not, but it doesn't hurt. Also, I mean, you can always record it with your phone. If you don't have it on a monitor or you're in person and they're doing a demo, I can't tell you how many times I've recorded stuff on my phone, gone back, and how vitally useful that was when I had to go in and write the docs. And at the very end, wait for your questions to the very end. Seriously, wait to the end and then ask if you missed anything. You don't want to ask questions that aren't your key ones that you need to get and then not get the information you need. You want to pay attention while they're talking to you. Make eye contact. Don't worry if you don't understand everything they say. You don't have to keep asking them because you go with the flow and sometimes they'll go and fill it in. And if not, save those questions for the end. When you discuss, you know, like here's an example. When you discussed the idea of applying the data sets to the mesh, do you mean a fully, you know, completed mesh, or how many data points does there have to be on the mesh? Things like that, you know. When you were discussing this, what did you mean by that? That sort of thing. If it's really pertinent for you to know, you could ask, but try and keep as many of those questions to the end. Now, if you're going to ask them to record, if they don't want to, don't worry about it. Don't upset them. Just say, okay. I've never had that happen. So I just want to always know. I don't automatically assume I'll record. I used a really inexpensive digital recorder, and I've also used my phone. Use whatever you think works. I like the inexpensive digital recorder because it holds a lot of audio on it. Don't forget when you record to remind the SME that recording the conversation if they decide against it. You know, and that's, again, that's just something I really want to let you know to check with them. And you can also check with your organization to make sure it's okay that you record the sessions. Some organizations, it's not that okay with them, and that's because of the nature of their business. But I could see where Department of Defense or other groups would be very nervous about it. So you just always want to do with whatever's cool, and asking ahead just gives you that heads up. And you can explain why you want to do it. Once you describe the information, you know, whether you're using software or listening, because there are software that will transcribe from a audio recording. Delete the recording unless you're told, because there's no need to keep it. You want to follow organizational rules. I always got rid of it. There is no real reason to keep it. Remember, the recorder is just a tool. It's electronic and can fail. You know, batteries can die, etc. So you want to take notes anyway. Just brief outline notes at some point, and then keep them. Make sure those will really help you. And I've had audio recorders fail, so it's just something to keep in mind. Once you do some test recordings before you go in. Figure out how close to the person you need to put it. Does it sound okay? Can you hear it? Do you have nervous habits? Is the recorder close enough? All that kind of stuff, because then you can kind of hear how you're interviewing as well. That was the other thing I used it for. So it's kind of neat. You can record yourself asking questions if you want to test. It's a really great way to do it. Remember, interviewing is a skill. Interviewing takes practice. Interviewing means you need the trust of your SME. Interviewing means being professional, engaged in what the SME is saying. Now, you want to really be pleasant but purposeful. You want to, you know, give them the time, but don't get caught up in a conversation about everybody's kids. You could ask how you're doing today and then just say, okay, let's move forward. You know, you got to let them respond and let them move forward so that you keep on track and get everything done. Prepare a list of your questions. Remember that let the SME do most of the talking. Be objective. Just try to focus them in areas that you need the information in. Ask additional questions as needed, especially at the end. And take notes even if you record the session. Remember also to guide the conversation. Don't get sidetracked or let the SME wander too much away from the main point of the conversation, which is the information you're trying to gather. Thank the SME at the end. Remember that. That's just common courtesy, but you got to do it. And request permission, if possible, to contact them for any clarification necessary when you go back and start writing the manual or whatever it is you're writing. Sometimes I write articles and stuff, so it could be anything. But you want to make sure you request that permission and contact them if you need to. They may say no, and you'll just have to accept that, but a lot of times they say yes. And if they're expecting something from you and you ask them a question, don't ask them something they've already covered. Go back and ask them a new question, if you're going to ask them a question, and one that's really meaningful. After the interview, review your mind map. How close was all the information that you got from the mind map? That's your kind of learning portion of it, so that when you make the next mind map, it'll work better. Go back to your notes and write down all the information you need while it's fresh in your head. I usually go in and type up some notes, because then you can cheat and copy and paste later and then modify that in part of your document that you're creating. Do you need another interview or communication with the SME? If possible, have the SME review your document when it's done, or even just like in the rough draft, unless it's very long and you won't have contact again. The SME could catch errors, especially in highly mathematical documents. Having said that, if you have an editor, you may not need it. And that's it for this lecture. Music by Purple Planet Music at music://https://www.purple-planet.com.